Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Text number 37. Nyasta kridayiko balo jatavatan manastaya krishna graha grihitatma naveda jagat idrisham nashta. Having given up, kridanaka, all sportive activities or tendencies for childhood play, bala, a boy, jaravat, as if dull, without activities, tat manastaya, by being fully absorbed in Krishna, Krishna graha, by Krishna, who is like a strong influence, like a graha or planetary influence, grihita atma, whose mind was fully attracted, na. Not Veda, understood, Jagat, the entire material world, Idrisham, like this. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Purport, Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a great person fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8, 274, it is said, Stavara jangamam deke deke tara morti savatra haya nija ishta deva sporti. Fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavat. The Mahabhagavat sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Lochanena Santaksadaya Viridhyesha Vilokayanti Yamashayama Sundarama Chintya Gunaswarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Dhamahang Vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyama Sundar, situated in the heart of the devotee. An exalted devotee or Mahatma, who is rarely to be seen, remains fully conscious of Krishna, constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu, or Ketu, he cannot make advance in any prospective activity. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the Supreme Planet, and thus he could not think of the material world and live without Krishna consciousness. This is a sign of a Mahabhagavata. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, a Mahabhagavata sees him to be also engaged in Krishna's service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similarly to a Mahabhagavata, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prahlad Maharaj is the approved Mahabhagavata, the supreme devotee. In the previous verse, it is stated that he had natural attachment, naisargiki rati. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, viraktir anyatra cha. The symptom of a perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy to give up playing is impossible, but Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first-class devotional service, was always absorbed in a trance of Krishna consciousness, just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain. A Mahabhagavat, like Prahlad Maharaj, is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Nyasta kridayat ko balo jaravatan manashtaya Krishna graha grihitatma naveda jagat idrisham. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Sarabhutasamatmanam sarabhutani chatmani ikshite yoga yuktatma saratrasamadarshanaha yomam pashati sarva sha sarvam chamai pashati tasyaham na pranashami na chame na pranashati sarabhutistitam yomam bhajantye katmamastita saravatavatmanhanopi siyogi maya vartate admopai mayena sarvatras Mambhashti Orjana Sukambayi Dadukam Siyogi Paramo Mutaha. Translation. A true yogi observes me in all beings, and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. One who knows that I and the super soul, dwelling in the hearts of all living beings, are the same, worships me, and remains with me under all circumstances. Is a true yogi who sees the true equality of all living beings, both in their happiness and distress. In other words, if we understand how everything is Krishna's energy, then naturally we'll remember Krishna. Just like if a mother sees the shoes of her child, her little baby child, little booties, then naturally she remembers her child. Similarly, if one sees everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, then one will naturally remember Krishna. Because everything has relation with Krishna. Even the material energy. Bhumira apadalo vayu kamano buddha evacha ahankara itiyame vina prakriti ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these are my separated material energies. So everything we see around us is energy. Krishna is material energy. Where did it come from? Anyone who thinks it came out of nothing means that the only place there is nothing is between his two ears. Because everything came out of nothing, why doesn't more things come out of nothing? Nothing produced everything, and therefore it became nothing again. No, obviously everything didn't come out of nothing. Nor is there nothing anywhere. Now the question where it came from, Krishna says, Matak Paradharam Kinchit, that, my dear Arjuna, Matak Paradharam Kinchit, that everything is resting on me. Padak paratram kinchit. Is that right? Padak. What's that? Kintirasti diranjaya mayi sarvamidam proktam sutramani gana iva vatak paratram nanya kintirasti diranjaya mayi sarvamidam proktam sutramani gana iva. That, O conqueror of enemies, all things are resting on me, just like pearls are strung in a thread. Aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva vedante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That all, Krishna says that aham sarvasya, I'm the source of everything, from me the entire creation flows. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their heart. So the question is, well, how can everything not come out of a supreme person? If we look and examine that everyone here has a certain amount of beauty, a certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of strength. So the question is, who's the strongest? Who's the most beautiful? Who's the wealthiest? Who's the most aware, the most knowledgeable? So Krishna says, it's me. And he says, Savasyachaham ridhi sanavishto matak smritira gyanam aponam cha. So how can we exist without remembrance? Just like I'm quoting the verses, I didn't make them up as I was going along. It's being supplied to me. And similarly, when we try to learn a verse and we can't remember it, so Krishna helps us forget it. So it's like if you don't like this class, then it's the easy way is just, you don't even have to remember it or forget it. You can just go to sleep. And if you go to sleep, then you won't have to bother with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna gives that too. He gives us knowledge. He gives us forgetfulness. He gives us remembrance. Otherwise, where is it coming from? Why is it that one moment I'm trying to remember something and I can't do it, and even when I'm not thinking about it, suddenly the remembrance comes? We're looking at someone trying to remember what their name is, and we can't remember it. You go through the letters of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, N, E, O, N, Nina, that's right, Nina, Marco. So how is it we can even remember the letters of the alphabet? Has anyone ever forgotten the letters of their alphabet? Or has anyone ever forgotten their name? Some people do. They actually forget their name. Who are you? I am what I am. What's your name? I am. So some people even forget their names. But that's quite rare. It's called amnesia. They forget who they are. They forget where they come from. And then after some time, by some miracle it seems, they remember again. So where is it coming from? It says it's being supplied to us, just like the teacher gives information to the student, or the father instructs his son. So similarly, the super soul is in everyone's heart, giving everyone knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. For the devotee who wants to remember Krishna, Krishna helps him remember Krishna and forget Maya. And for the non-devotee who wants to forget Krishna, Krishna helps him remember everything about the material energy and forget Krishna completely. And as far as knowledge, people will say everything comes out of nothing, and they're completely convinced that we all came out of monkeys. That in the beginning there was nothing, and suddenly, somehow or another, the rock evolved into a monkey. And so our ancestors, if you trace our ancestry back, eventually you'll come to find out that your great-great-great-grandfather was a monkey swinging from a tree. His name was Harry, because he was full of hair. That's where the name Harry came from. And his wife was named Lucy. Harry and Lucy met each other and they fell in love. And they produced a human being eventually. Maybe it was something that what your brother looks like. So this is so-called knowledge. This is what people want to say. If you go to the zoo, you just wait around long enough till you go to the monkey cage and you wait to see. Maybe someone looks like one of your relatives will give birth. You name it when they give birth. Anyhow, so this is the idea. But actually, this is not science. It's science fiction. The fact is that everything comes out of from a person. Just like it takes intelligence for us to do anything. Just sit up straight takes some intelligence. We have to constantly use our intelligence to do everything. So how is it that a universe with planets moving their orbits, snowflakes falling, precise geometric patterns, how is it that this came about just by accident? Nothing comes about by accident. So Prahlad was able to see that because he utilized everything in Krishna's service, and therefore his consciousness was not taken away by the illusory energy. If we utilize things in Krishna's service, then Maya cannot take our consciousness of Krishna away. As it says, Krishna bahir mukha bhoga vanshitare nikatastha tare japitiyadare, that as soon as we turn our consciousness away from Krishna by thinking that something does not belong to Krishna, I can utilize it any way I want, and therefore Maya is standing right by us, takes our mind away from Krishna, and then we're in Maya. She slaps us down, and that's the only difference between a pure devotee and a materialist. Materialist wants to utilize everything for his sense gratification, and a devotee wants to utilize everything for Krishna's service. One who's utilizing everything for Krishna's service will naturally remember Krishna when he's engaged in activities, and one who's utilizing things for one's sense gratification will naturally remember materialistic activities when one is engaged in such materialistic pleasure-seeking. So Prahlad Maharaj, from the beginning of his birth, or even before his birth, understood that everyone and everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore he didn't waste his time trying to imitate Krishna. He utilized his time to think about Krishna. One who says that the whole world is dancing with Krishna in the Krishna book. But those who are dancing, following Krishna's steps, they're dancing the Rasa dance. Actually, the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the chanting, the Harinam, is exactly the same as the Rasa dance. Of course, and people, we don't have to put on the sari to engage in this Rasa dance. Of course, the ladies put on saris, but the men don't have to put on saris. They can dance in the Rasa dance in dhotis. Of course, most people think they look like saris. But the devotees can dance in the Rasa dance just by chanting Hare Krishna. And when we're chanting Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, Krishna is there, Srimati Radharani is there, the whole spiritual world is there, and we're dancing in the Rasa dance. It said the whole world is full of Krishna singing, but everyone's hearing it in a different way. they don't understand that it's all sound. I am the sound in ether, Krishna says. Rasaham absnukondiya prabhasti shasi suryo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdike purusham nrishu. That I am the taste in water, I'm the light in the sun and the moon, I'm the syllable omen of the Vedic mantras, I'm the sound in ether and ability in man. So Prabhupada said, if you have water and you drink it, you should remember Krishna. That's where the taste is coming from. It's the taste of Krishna. And if you remember it's the taste of Krishna, if you remember that this actual taste comes from Krishna, then you make spiritual advancement. Prabhupada said, even if a drunkard is drinking wine and is thinking the taste of this wine is Krishna, then eventually he'll become a great devotee of Krishna by drinking wine. Not that we're recommending that. Better to drink the water and remember Krishna. What's that? Well, you can follow Neil Jal. You can eat three big feasts today. Just don't drink a drop of water and you'll be following Neil Jal. It's one way of following Neil Jal. So Krishna says that if you understand how everything is Krishna's energy and then utilize it for Krishna's service, then you remember Krishna, and then that will be realized how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. Then one's consciousness will change and one will actually enter into the spirit, well, we'll see everything as being spiritual. Now we're seeing everything according to our imagination, which is the result of not utilizing things in Krishna's service. Sattvam sarva, what is it? Sattva nirupa sarvasha, shraddha bhavati bharata, sharomao yo yo purusham, yo yat charas eva saha. According to one's existence under the three modes of material nature, one has a certain kind of faith. So since we're existing under the modes of material nature, we have a certain idea about what's going on right now. And because we have that idea, that conception, therefore we're sure to act according to that conception. We have to do something. And when we do something, then whatever we do changes our consciousness. And because our consciousness changes into a different mode, therefore we get a different conception of what's going on. So we're just going from one material conception to the other. But if we add Krishna to it, Kshetra Kshetraya Jnanam Antara Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Yevidu Yanti Te Puram, that one who can see the difference between the body and the owner of the bodies and the owners of the body, Kshetra Kshetraya Jnanam Antara Jnana Chakshusha, one who can see with the eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the owners of the body, namely the soul and the supersoul. Kshetra Kshetraya Jnanam Antara Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Yevidu Yanti Te Puram. And he therefore approaches the transcendental destination. So it's all not that complicated. The difficulty is acting with others as if they're Krishna's servants, that we're Krishna's servants and others are Krishna's servants. And then we'll realize that everyone is Krishna's servant. So that's the difficulty. Acting as if everyone else is Krishna's servant. Therefore, we're supposed to call each other Prabhu. Prabhu doesn't mean that I've joined the Hare Krishna movement and finally everyone has realized that I'm the master and they're calling me Prabhu. And I also call them Prabhu just to make them feel good, although I don't really believe it. But actually, if we believe it and act in that way, then the result is that Krishna will reveal himself to us when we learn the science of becoming a servant of Krishna's service. And if we don't do that, then we'll simply evolve from one type of consciousness to the next in the material energy, either in goodness, passion, or ignorance. Sattvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava ibandanti mahabaho dehi dehinam avyam. The material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with those modes, it becomes conditioned by them. So we should understand that we're under the three modes. If I look around, we have a few in ignorance here. Maybe a few in passion. Just waiting. Oh, I can't wait till this class is over. Oh, but there's no prasadam. Oh. Okay, I'll sit here and sleep. They need a little rest. Or sometimes someone is in goodness. There's a little halo over the head. But we're conditioned. But if we add Krishna to it, if we add this philosophy, which is what we're doing, we take it away with it, and just try it a little bit. Try to apply it a little bit in our lives. Think, what does Krishna want me to do? How does he want me to do it? And then try it out. Why does he want me to do this? And try it out and see if there's any difference. If there's no difference, you can get your money back. No problem. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, an exalted devotee who is rarely to be seen remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. I have a friend who says that it's admitted here that such a person is very rare, but he is described in every second purport. So it's said as our goal, but our goal is so high that we can't help but be totally frustrated all the time because we can't reach it. And it's accepted, it's very rare.
Well, it's rare because anyone who becomes a pure devotee goes back to Godhead. Therefore, you can't find them anywhere. You have to go back to Goloka Vrindavan to find them. One sense, Krishna says, Vita raga bhaya krodha manmana bhava madbhakta mandai. Vita raga vaya krodha manmaya bhava madbhakta upashitya bhava gana tapasa putamad bhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, thus they all attained transcendental love for me. So Krishna says many, many people became devotees and developed Krishna prema and went back to Godhead. So they don't stay around in the material world. They go and join Krishna in some pastime somewhere. So it's rare.
And he says, still, it's very difficult. It's extremely difficult to attain. And then he says, I can't help but feel useless and frustrated.
That's what your friend says. Well, that's Maya. He goes, yeah, it's difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. If something's easier to obtain, you wouldn't take it very... You take it for granted. You wouldn't take it very seriously. If you get something for free, generally we don't appreciate it. You have to pay some price for it. Even in the spiritual world, Krishna trying to obtain Radharani is difficult, is made difficult on purpose. Otherwise, you take Srimati Radharani for granted. So the whole material spiritual world is set up to make obtaining Krishna difficult or to obtain Krishna's devotee like Srimati Radharani difficult. That way you can value it more. It's eternally like that. Therefore one has to learn patience. Since we're eternal, then we should become a little patient. Even if you obtain Krishna consciousness in 100 lifetimes, that would only be a fraction of a moment in Lord Brahma's life. And just think of poor Brahma. He has to sit on that lotus flower for another 150 trillion years. And someone can become Krishna conscious in just a moment of Brahma's life. So how fortunate we are. A little patience is necessary. Anything else?
Maharaj, can you define What does it mean that a person has to give like 50% to for Krishna of his?
No, he has to give 100% for Krishna. No, never 50. You give 50% for Krishna, where does the other 50% go? No, it said that Rupa Goswami, he divided up his wealth. He gave 50% for the service of Krishna, 50% to his relatives, 50%, or 25% to his relatives, and 25% he kept for an emergency. But it was all for Krishna. It's just how he divided up his wealth for Krishna. It's not, you can't become an honest person by stealing from a bank and then giving back 50% of what you stole. Okay, I give up, I'm honest, you know. I'm sorry I stole it, you can have 50% back. You have to give it all back. Anything else? Thank you very much. Kurantaraj Bhagavad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.